PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 18 of Off Course, published date, August 14th, Friday. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Rob Miller. You find me on Twitter and Instagram, Rob Miller Time. And with me, as always, is Canadan, Dan Edwards, Canadan Golf on Twitter. You can also find us at Off Course THP on Twitter and Instagram. We're part of the Hackers Paradise Radio Network. Remember to subscribe and follow Range Days and our partners, Golf Unfiltered. Click the subscribe button. It helps everybody out. It will help you so much. I can't tell you how, but it will. You'll never miss a beat. And hopefully we don't miss a beat with our podcast today. Right, Dan?
I like it. It was weird without you last week, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I had the summer, George. I heard the comments. Thank you very much. I was away and we did talk a little bit about my round. Is there anything worse than bringing your golf clubs on vacation and not golfing, not going out and playing a round of golf?
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, well, the hurricane came through and it didn't do anything but give wind in North Carolina, but it knocked out power here in Jersey. So when I got back, I had to throw out two refrigerators full of stuff, but I did save the beer, so we're all good.
At least you didn't have to throw out the ketchup.
Yeah, the ketchup is still safe in the thing. Actually, little funny aside is when we were packing up, we had friends with us and who were staying down there too, and somebody put the ketchup in the cold bag. Man, just because once you refrigerate, you got to refrigerate, and that was just so that whole bottle's ruined basically. Bye.
Well, we only have so many minutes for a show. Otherwise, we could take that off course for another 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I did manage to get back. I watched the PGA. Everybody and their brother was in contention, and the Sunday pins were, I thought, in really exciting places. It made it for a very compelling PGA Championship. Do you agree with that?
That was crazy. All those huge names at the top of the leaderboard, and then you got this kid with maximum stones who pops up on that 16th hole and basically just puts the nail in the coffin right there. Says, yeah, this is mine. It's a major. I don't care. This is my show now.
That was a wild shot. I mean, what an amazing shot that was. And in, you know, and then he makes it, you know, so it's not it's not like a Mickelson shot where it's like, oh, he's on it too in Augusta. And then he, two putts, you know. That was because it's not quite as good. It's not quite as good, but yeah, that was wild. It was really neat, and I didn't think Morikawa was going to win. That wasn't my favorite. I was kind of hoping Jason Day for some reason. But
were you hoping Jason Day would win, or was that like your guy? Is that what you wanted?
It wasn't like for fantasy golf purposes or anything like that. It was nice to see him playing well and uninjured, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, it's funny how much you get comfortable watching some of these guys on tour. Obviously, Jason Day is a little bit polarizing because of a couple of things, like the pace of play and the damage he's done to his body over the years. He's been known as a little bit of a glass house at times. But yeah, I agree. I like the way that Jason plays the game. I agree with most that he could probably speed it up a bit, but it is exciting when he's in there hitting good shots because he's got most of them, you know, and he does it in a dynamic way. My question to you on top of that would be, do we need, you know, looking at the guys at the top of the leaderboard, I'm a huge fan of DJ. I love watching him play. I love seeing what he can do with the ball. It's a little bit less exciting now that there are other guys who can bomb it, but still, he's very fun to watch from a shot-making perspective. But obviously, the pulse is low when he's out there.
Yeah, it's he's polarizing in himself, like, just by watching him.
Mm-hmm. So there's another guy I wanted to say, comment about, and actually watching the Wyndham coverage this morning, they were kind of laying into him, is Brooks Koepka. Now, he's a pretty fun follow on social, but once you get him on the golf course, it's like, you know, are you awake? Did you birdie or double? Do you know?
Well, yeah, you're not going to get that kind of fiery reaction. And I don't even know. I would bet he doesn't even like fiery foods. I mean, that's just my guess. And it's funny because there was a video when he was back, and I guess it was web.com tour, maybe. He did a takeover on their social. And if you look at, there's like a 2-minute video out there, and he's like this happy-go-lucky, hey, what's going on? It's Brooks Koepka. You know, it was amazing. So something there, I'm thinking a lot is either coached or not a facade. Maybe that's the wrong word, but he definitely tries to flip a switch.
Are you saying he's introducing the Brooks Koepka persona on us? Is that like the thing?
It was weird. I'll try to dig it up and maybe post it on Instagram or Twitter. I'm sure it's out there, but I was like, is that him? Is that really him? Does he have another brother?
Yeah.
You know, it's
for those who aren't familiar, when Brooks is either playing bad or doing something weird, you call him Bruce, and that's just the way it goes. Maybe a name change is coming up for us.
Yeah, and he's also been introduced as a Brooks Cupcake on day, which is pretty awesome. But I don't know why people don't use that. It's there was a lot of criticism of him because of what he said. You know, the only guy out there, DJ, has only one major, so blah blah. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to do it. And then, boy, talking about the wheels falling off, that was interesting. You know, I think Brooks, if you look at the courses, when courses are playing really tough, he guts it out, and he's one of those guys who would rather win it 5 under than 12 under, because there's so many other guys who can't, I don't know, just stay in the mix all the time. So maybe the fact that it was playing a wee bit easier on Sunday, maybe that was maybe just out of his wheelhouse, so to speak. I mean, we all try to figure something out, because he's an enigma that way. You know,
I'll be honest with you, based on the coverage, the room I was in, it felt pretty heavily favored to seeing Bryson win for the 1,000 reasons that are available. Obviously, it's a fun story. It continues on this year of Bryson type of thing. He clearly didn't get it done. And major kudos to Morikawa for pulling it out and proving that he is a force to be reckoned with even early in his career, which could be fun to talk about in the future as he continues to improve. But I'll tell you what, man, Bryson winning, it would have made for a really, really interesting week on social, I think.
Oh, of course. I mean, now, so he's got to win. If he wins another major but one of the other majors this year, then it's him and Morikawa. They've got two plus a major, you know, then you're going to get this, you know, player of the year kind of scenario and so forth. But it's, I don't mind Bryson winning at all. That would be great. As I think it, you know, bring it on, baby. You know, let's see what happens. So that wouldn't bother me.
So we've talked about like 5 different players and their interesting personas and their on course personalities and or lack of personalities. One of the guys you and I were talking about before the show is Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
He was always really fun to watch have success. Again, a little bit on the slow play stuff, which is whatever, but at least you got to experience the roller coaster ride that his golf mental state, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the chicken wing, you know, because he has that chicken wing at and after impact, and maybe there's just way too much timing there, and your shots just have to be that precise on the PGA Tour. You know, you've got to miss it on the correct side, you've got to be on the right level, and so forth. And he gets, you know, pretty much hammered over his up and down putting, which for a couple years was, you know, the guy didn't even have to look at the ball in order to make the putt.
Mm-hmm.
But the driving is, it's if Charles Barkley would say it's terrible, it's just terrible.
I think even Charles Barkley would be uncomfortable with the video you maybe watched before we actually started recording today. You want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to have seen this. It was Jordan at the range earlier in the day, and he is there's a couple things that are disturbing to me that really stick out. He's at the end. All right, if I'm not confident, I go to the end. You know, I go somewhere. That's like the tin cup area, right? I mean, he's like way over tin cup left in the Roy McIlvoy territory. Then he's got these nervous twitches Sergio had way back when, like 2002 and so forth, where he's doing regripping the club so many times. But the next disturbing thing is he keeps looking at the target. He's got a driver and he keeps looking down range. It's just that not somewhere you want to be. And so I forget who it was, but somebody retweeted and said, farewell, sweet prince. I thought that was great. It was everybody wants to see Jordan do well. And he used to be this guy that really moved the needle and was amazing his first 5 years on tour. And now he hasn't won since 2017. And it seems to be getting worse rather than getting better.
We watched videos of the guys talking about what the advice would be that they would give their younger self. And his commentary is really interesting. He said, just don't take it too seriously. Just have fun. Just enjoy the moment. And he said, if anything, that's something he needs to learn now from his former self, because he had gotten himself into such a condition where he was extremely methodical and overcalculating, and, you know, obviously backed himself into a corner in terms of efficiency versus functionality, I guess, is a real problem. Not to mention, I think he's trying to improve his overall distances to try and compete, which is bringing in a whole different chunk of problems, right?
Yeah, I saw him actually on the putting green. I don't know if you saw that clip too, but he said to his caddy, Michael Greller, after he hit, he made like maybe an 8 footer or so. He goes, that was bleeping straight. So I'm not going to change our podcast rating. I'll just say bleeping. But yeah,
we're off course, not unfiltered.
Yeah, we're not unfiltered. Hey, Adam. We'll let him do that stuff. So I've seen a few examples of where he's kind of like really putting digging at Greller. So I don't know what happens. Do you think it's going to be a caddy change? Do you think he's finally going to move away from McCormick or what? What do you think Jordan needs? Because I think golf needs Jordan Spieth.
I think golf likes Jordan Spieth. I think certainly the entirety of Texas is very needy of Jordan Spieth. But I don't think the game genuinely needs Jordan Spieth. They just need people who actually go out and make claims that they're enjoying the game that they profit off. You know, you got Brooks / Bruce Koepka, who has done a pretty good job of making it sound like he doesn't like what golf is.
Yeah, neither of those guys.
You got guys winning like DJ, who once again, I mean, it's not, he's an athlete who plays golf. We don't have enough guys that are like, I think Justin Thomas is probably a good example. I love watching him play. He might not be everyone's cup of tea, but you can tell he's passionate about the game and the game's history. Same goes for Spieth. I think Spieth is a student of the game. He's appreciative of what, where, and how it came to be. We just need guys who are successful, who can take over a tournament, who have the ability to showcase what the love of the game can be more than just the skill of the game.
Well, I wonder, I agree. I mean, DJ is not everybody's cup of tea. It's so weird. He needs to not shave again. I will say that. I was like, who is that guy? Where's his tie? You know, like, it was very odd. But Jordan is, I think he's very likable. When, you know, he came out, he was on fire. I remember they're saying that, oh, wait till you see Spieth when he gets on tour. This guy is not afraid to fire at any pin. Kind of fearless, like Morikawa was fearless. It kind of reminds me, and maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. It kind of has a Duval feel to me, But there was no Tiger that caused Duval to go on this downward spiral. I don't know what caused this for Jordan, but or maybe there isn't. It seems like when you look at that range video, it's him who's the biggest problem. But if you remember David Duval, like, he started working out because of Tiger. He tried to do everything and as possible. And then we talked for years and years and years. Oh, David Duval's back. He fired a 69 at Firestone or something like that. And then it just, you know, never, you know. And then he was relegated to like playing in Puerto Rico and that kind of stuff. And then finally he's like, I'll broadcast and snowboard. I'm good. You know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, man, that's tough. That I think one of those things would just be that Jordan needs to understand that maybe being the greatest golfer isn't a realistic avenue to pursue anymore. Maybe just being a part of the experience will create more success for him than trying to better everyone every second of every day. And maybe, obviously, it's early in his career and age to do something like that. But you look at Phil and the way he swaggers around golf courses at 50, that dude is not out there. I mean, obviously he wants to win, mm-hmm. but his perspective is nowhere close to what it was 20 years ago. It can't be. So maybe Jordan just needs to take that on earlier in his career than he wanted to.
Yeah.
Maybe because he just needs to have fun, right? You watch a guy with a driver in his hands on the range have like a, for lack of a word, a Keegan moment, a Keegan Bradley moment where he just can't do it.
Oh,
or like, man, Kevin Na when he was going through his stuff. Like, you can tell it's so mental.
I can't watch Keegan Bradley. I can't. I have to like turn it off. When it was Bradley versus Duffner way back at that, I forget what PGA that was, like 2012-ish or something. I forget when it exactly, but I mean, Duffner would take like a short nap when he like between like his practice putting stroke to actually addressing the ball. And then Bradley was maddening enough, but he got worse, right? He's like kind of worse today than his pre-putt routine is maniacal, I'd say.
It just seems like some of these guys just can't get out of their own head. And I thought I read something somewhere that said that Keegan during any other round other than tournament play doesn't really do that step back, step forward, like double step, triple step type of thing. It's just once you're in the moment, that emotional moment, that's what happens.
Yeah, there's some that can't pull the trigger. I think the mind is such a powerful influence of the golf swing, and probably one of the it's a different issue with golf than other sports because you're dealing with something that isn't moving, right? You're not reacting. You're causing it. You know, the whole process of swinging the club. So there's a definite mental difference in pulling the trigger on a golf shot than say playing tennis. And it's like, you have to make a decision. All right. Am I just getting it back over the net or am I going down the line? Am I going cross court? Am I hitting a slice back? You know, stuff like that. And you decide that split second. In golf, you've got 2 minutes in DeChambeau's world, 4 minutes to choose what shot you want to hit.
Yeah. And then you spend minutes walking to your next one, you know, picking yourself apart.
Yeah. And you never hit two shots in a row that are the same. It's like basically never happens, right?
I was joking around about how some of these guys just need to mainline CBD until their minds are just, you know, of that Kepka-esque, Woodland-esque, DJ-esque, you know, ultra level profile. Do you think without actually going to anything that's, you know, bad for your body, do you think something like a CBD would help a guy like Spieth who just can't get out of his own way?
Well, what's the George Costanza line? Like, it's not a lie if you believe it. So if it's something, I mean, who's to say what's effective and what isn't? If you have something like Under Armour was making this stress mouth guard for like golf, they market.
I have one of those.
You have? Oh
yeah. I bought it at like a discount place for $2 or something. I was like, this can't be real.
in the bin next to a can, like a can of tomato paste that expires tomorrow. Like one of those things, right?
Let the record show it was in fact sealed in the full massive construction of plastic waste that it came in. But
I hope it is.
It was not. But it was not recycled.
If you have that and you play with it and you go out and you kick ass, you're going to be like, wow, this really helped me contribute to that. And I'm not saying that CBD doesn't work or anything like that, but maybe something will work for someone. I mean, Phil put his coffee recipe out there on social. You saw that, I believe, right?
Well, I also see Phil and Tiger chewing gum all the time now on the course, and I doubt that doesn't have CBD in it. I'm just guessing.
It could.
We had that moment at the Masters where Phil kind of turns away and hits the dropper. Yep. We all saw that.
Yeah, he's got the dropper.
But I mean, if you look at golfers as a whole, because we are so focused, like hyper focused on what we're trying to achieve. I mean, I remember I used to wear Tryon Z bracelets all the time.
Partly
because I like the way they look, but partly because I genuinely thought it like helped me with my balance, which is, you know, I got sold a bill of goods that placebo or not was, you know, it worked for me at the time.
Yeah, the Tryon Z, they were all over the place. If you look through, like, say, 2010-ish Getty images, every golfer has one on.
Yeah, because the argument is why not, right?
Right. Well, it's like you can make the argument about spining shafts, right, and SST Pure and things like that. It's like, well, does that work? Does that work for your equipment? Well, I might if I'm offered it in my tour trailer, I might as well do it. Now, for the average person, you'd be like, I don't know if it's going to work. How do you know it's going to work? Well, if you pay money for that, you're going to think it works. You know, you're automatically going to buy in. You're literally buying into that. And I had the guys at SST Pure saying, you know, that was kind of like their biggest thing. But they said if you sent your set into them, they could tell you after they run it through the machine and measure everything, they could tell you what your favorite club was. And that was all based on whether the shaft was pure or not. It's going to be the purest, which is interesting. I mean, but then again, how do I measure that? I have no idea. You know, I don't know what's going on. Paul Casey's good again. What's going on?
Stops that moment to watch Paul Casey roll a putt in. I've got the TV up with the Blue Jackets scoring to go up 2-1 on the Lightning. It's an exciting time to be a host of Off Course.
There's lots of things happening. I get distracted quicker than I don't know, like a house cat. But I do like having this this feed up, and we're watching Pat Reed going for a long birdie.
So who do you like this week at the Wyndham? Who feels good?
Actually, my pick would be Casey. I think he's playing really well. He's like rejuvenated. He's the happiest person not to win a major, because he's always having a good time, regardless of and he's probably one of the better guys not to have a major, you know, because he's what, about 40 now, somewhere around there, maybe 38 or something. I like him this week. Now, this is one of those tournaments where kind of everybody's in the mix. You know, you're gonna, Webb Simpson's gonna be up there. You know it, right? That's what's happening this year. I just think there's going to be a lot of guys in contention just because of the nature of the Wyndham Championship. What about you? Do you have anybody that sticks out?
I don't have a choice, as we've discussed in the past. As I pull up the leaderboard at -6 right now, it's a fellow Canadian, Roger Sloan. I do like seeing Harold Varnell, the third, up there with a nice clean 62 today. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a heck of a round.
But I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, we've got, so right now on our Spieth topic, we've got Varner 8 under, and then Spieth is even for the day.
I can tell you one thing, there will not be a repeat winner this year. I think Paston is having a little bit of trouble, but that's okay. You don't win them all. I would do the same thing if I was playing on Bermuda.
Yeah. So Spieth is now tied with, I don't even know who this is. Well, there's JJ Spawn, good name. And who is Bergoon? Bronson Bergoon.
I'll tell you what.
That's an awesome name.
That's a name and a half.
If I'm not mistaken, he got a He's a guy who plays out of Colonial, and he got an exemption. He gets an exemption each year because his family's pretty big down there, if I'm not mistaken. That's a good strong name.
I'll allow it. So, moving on a little bit, my guy.
Yeah,
there's something talking with JB a little bit about it. You had mentioned be a fun conversation to talk about. It's something I consider just about every time I go out onto the golf course. What makes sense to eat as a golfer during your round? What is the proper nourishment for a golfer when you go play? What do you do when you go for a round of golf? Time of day dependent.
Well, it is time of day dependent for sure. There's, regardless of the time though, whether you're morning, noon, or twilight, somebody in the foursome is going to have a banana. You know, someone has a banana packed in the bag because apparently that's the key to success, right?
Interesting.
Like, you don't see that?
The
potassium and it's got its own wrapper built in.
I do not belong to the banana foursome. No.
No banana crew?
No, sir.
No, that's not for me, but usually I'm in the morning. I just try to have something that's part of my normal diet, which is right now it's keto. So that's what I'm planning on doing. So, but what I bring to the course is a nice big cup of coffee, and I'm going to try Phil's recipe. If you didn't see it, I can't imagine you didn't see it, but there's all kinds of things to put in there, like different powder and then something which allows them to have the benefits of the caffeine, but not the jittery nerves associated with caffeine. That's something I could use. So that's some sort of pill, and I have to go back and figure out. If it costs an arm and a leg, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to have coffee, man. But that's how I start off my morning. And then at the turn, we have I try to go to the halfway house. They just have egg sandwiches, man. It's eggs, and you want what we call Taylor ham, which is pork roll, but in northern New Jersey, because it's Taylor pork roll, we call it Taylor ham. Everybody from up here will know it. It's even different in southern Jersey, just called pork roll. So, like, you know, Taylor ham, egg and cheese, or I think they have bacon, egg and cheese. That's it for the morning. You want something else? Yeah, you can get a bag of peanuts or something boring like that, and maybe a beer or something at the turn, but that's it. But we're making the turn around 10:15, something like that is normal. What about you for a morning round? I know you're not necessarily a morning round person, but...
Do you know that for a fact?
Well, every time I said, oh yeah, I've got a 4 p.m. tea time. I'm like, all right.
That's a weekday thing, man. It's
where the leaders go off. So
obviously, my day job does not allow me to get up at 6 every morning and go play. But our weekends actually have been typically about 7:45 is when we start, if we can. And I haven't had coffee in a while. I do energy drinks though, so I usually have that plus a larger thing, something to piece tea or something like that. Some with a little sugar on it to keep me going during the back nine. And then usually I just take bars, man. I like these little Cliff Kid bars. There's not too much food. It's not like a full-on Cliff bar.
I'm familiar with those having kids.
Yeah. Canadan Jr. likes them. I like them. So it's a team effort getting through those at the house. Oatmeal bars, Nature Valley is not bad. But I never go full-on meal when I play. The crux of this conversation was always going to be at the turn, that our course in a given year, there will be a turn grill and I feel like they start at like 10 or 10:30. And if I'm making the turn at 10 or 10:30, I don't want to have a burger, man. That's the last thing I want to do is eat a burger and then go play the back nine.
It depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for just protein, you just get a burger. No, and just toss the bun or something like that. I mean, that's what you kind of do. I mean, that's what we have for lunch. It's burgers or a dog. At other places that I've played, I played one time at, but this is Liberty National. It was just phenomenal. It was like, well, they do have an awesome, locked halfway house where you could pick anything you want, but there's always some sort of grill going with all those kind of things. But they do that on public courses too. there's some higher end public here that does the same thing, where there is a burger going. The only rule I have is that if he says it's going to be a minute, nope, don't have it. It's got to be ready, because they are going to undercook that thing and it's going to start walking like on the bun. Like it, if anybody at a halfway house says, oh yeah, burger will be ready in a minute, it's not cooked yet, skip it, guys. Don't get worms or something or whatever.
So if you had to pick burger, dog, or pre-made sandwich at the turn, starving, what are you going with and why?
Do I have, if I have time, burger, if it's quick, I'll just grab the dog type of thing. That's it. Sandwich, I don't care about the sandwich.
What if they have their condiments in the fridge waiting for you to pull them out and use them?
It's a definite problem. If it's a sunny day, I can probably warm it up on the seat. No, I'm just kidding. I'll deal with the colder condiments. I'll be fine with that. But most likely, like at golf courses, those condiments are out there for hours. So you probably don't have to worry about that.
So bag of chips, chocolate bar, or peanut butter crackers?
It's always chips.
Always chips.
Always chips. Chips are better than all those things. Period. It's a blanket statement. You know, what about you? If you have, well, you've got some bars, so I'm guessing if you walk in, you're not going to have any bar. If you're at the turn and you're hungry, you strike me as a sandwich guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. It just seems like, you know what, the sandwich, it's, you said you didn't like full meal. So I'm guessing that there's some logic behind this, that you know, the burger's going to be messy. You got to make it. You got to go through this whole prep process. Usually the sandwich is just kind of ready and it's right there. And it's less messy than both of those options, a burger or dog option.
I'd say I'd probably go dog. And really? The only reason I say it is because it's the least filling of the bunch. It's just barely anything. If I'm that desperate for food, then I'll go with that. But typically I'll wait till after the round to have whatever meal I'm trying to have.
Yeah. Do you think it makes a difference if you're walking or riding?
Not really. It does.
You know, just that dog is just going to sit in your stomach and it's going to be bad to walk the rest of the round.
I was actually looking at it from the other perspective, is if I'm walking, I don't want to have to deal with any of that. I don't even want to carry a drink if I'm walking. So yeah, I think the door opens up if I'm in the cart. But if I'm walking, then I'm just relying on what I brought, which typically is one to three things that I can munch on during the round, and look very much forward to whatever comes afterwards from a nourishment standpoint.
Yeah, I think it definitely matters if you're riding or not. So you're not push cart mafia when you're walking, you're carrying.
Yeah. So my course has a really idiotic rule in place that you're required to rent one of their carts if you want to use a push cart.
Even in the Corona era?
Even in the Corona era.
That is amazing, really.
It is soul crushing. I have an unbelievable product in my basement, which I will not seed since we're not sponsored. I'm crazy eager to get it out there because it's such a convenient thing to be able to push. It's not as bad as on your back. You can last longer without being fatigued. Obviously, all these things kind of come into place, but the idea of using someone's worn down cart does not appeal to me at all.
Well, yeah, I did that once. Oh God, I did that this year. So I played this course, Mendham, down the road. It's only about 15 minutes for me. But the last time I played it last year and we rode, this time it was, you know, 100 degrees like every day is this year for some reason. And it said, oh, by the way, we're gonna walk. Now, I didn't bring my cart. So, go get one. Well, the only ones that were available were the ones made in the World War II era, you know, two wheels and everything. And then they grabbed two sacks of beer And because everybody else decided they were going to carry, like there was no way I was carrying my bag. It's not happening. Not with that bag that I brought. So I had to lug, you know, the ice and beer on the sides of the cart and everything like that. And I swear it was pretty damn miserable experience. The only thing that was good is it was going to storm later. So we switched to a couple of power carts just because. But to get back to the other question for you, if you have to rent their cars, what if you need a power cart? What if you need, what's the deal there?
What do you mean?
Are you allowed to bring your powered cart? I don't mean.
Not like a riding cart.
You know, not a riding cart, but a motorized.
There's no cart. Condition where they would allow a motorized cart.
They won't?
Mm-mm. This is a rant that I've been saving. I've tried numerous times to engage with our management. I'm not sure if they're avid fans of the show or not, but I know a number of our members do listen to the podcast. I am so beyond flustered in 2020, considering how beneficial it is from a exercise standpoint to get out there and walk. I even offered things like trail fees over the course of the year.
Well, yeah. Say that, it's like, oh, I brought my own cart. All right, it's $5 on top of your whatever you not greens fee, but whatever you're walking.
Right. Through. So the idea was we pay a flat rate at the start of the year, whatever it is, a couple $100, $100. I don't know. But for the privilege, the opportunity to bring out our carts, which they would be more than welcome to audit and tag before being approved for. Play. I've got all these ideas that I've provided, and it's just there's zero interest in allowing us to take full advantage of the outstanding products that are out there and not have to deal with carts with wobbly wheels or, you know, overused, because carts aren't made to be aggressively used, right? Carts are a personal thing, just as golf shoes are. You wouldn't borrow someone else's golf shoes because they're going to wear down over time pretty aggressively.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's,
you know. And I don't want to do either of those things.
Yeah, that quite that frankly. I mean, there's a couple things that would, you know, either it needs to be a, no pun intended, the squeaky wheel gets the greasing, right? So enough members have to be outraged about it, or you know, somebody, you know, it actually starts affecting bottom lines, you know. So
yeah.
It's probably not that bad to where people are actually going to say, you know what, I could do this or something. It's an odd rule. I've never heard about it anywhere else. It'd be a shame if you took out one of those rental carts and there was an unfortunate accident.
They just happened to make it into the pond.
Yeah, just I have no idea. It was there and then it was gone. But you're right. When you have a push cart and you're just used to where everything is, and then you have to use something else, it's very strange, especially when it was Teddy Roosevelt era or something that I was using. It was, you know, it has nothing, zero amenities whatsoever. So that's a pretty odd rule. Definitely can't get food because, you know, it's just hard to hold some sort of sandwich or whatever it may be, right? Walking around.
Right. Well, the biggest selling feature I thought would be that everyone who has a push cart, if it's their own push cart, I would assume a greater number of people will use it, even if it's a little trail fee. And what does that mean? That means that when they go out and play, they actually have a sand bottle with them. So if they're a walker and you're playing in any location that even has a slightly explodable divot, what do? As a walker, there's not a ton you can do. If you have a push cart, what do you have? A sand bottle. So it's course maintenance on top of everything else. And maybe I need to push that harder because they're always complaining there about people not fixing their divots. So,
well, yeah, unless the whole point is to get people into power carts or
I think that's the big story here. And no one's ever going to say it, but quite frankly, if it's money in the pocket. So we actually have a hard and fast rule that anytime before 2 on the premium days, which would be the weekends, you're obligated to take a cart regardless. Power cart. So it's not like they'd be dropping that bottom line at all. It's been a bit different this year with the regulations that are around the Rona, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I need to have another couple local conversations before I really rant about it on Off Course, because I'm ready. I'm due for it.
Yeah, I would. I believe it. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it makes sense that I want to know the I kind of want to, and I don't want to know the history of it. Like, what is it from? Is it some pro who is going to make a name for themselves?
Right.
Like, if everybody showed up and they wanted one of your rental buggies, I guarantee you don't have enough for everybody.
Oh, certainly not. No.
So then what happens? So then you're going to deny someone who wants to walk. They've got to do that.
I'll tell you what happens. Pure disappointment.
Yeah, that's annoying. I hope the rest of the course is nice.
Course is awesome. It is great. One of the best tracks in the city, as far as I'm concerned. One of the best layouts. It's an Arnie design, so it holds a long time passion of mine. The best thing about it is the course itself. But that's just a rule I can't get behind. I just can't do it.
Yeah. That's definitely, probably the weirdest, we'll call it a local rule. That's a weird one, that we had. We're watching. So you realize I'm watching Paul Casey right now.
Again, Paul Casey. Paul Casey is unofficially your guy. Every time he pops up on the screen, you interrupt the whole podcast to talk about him.
I do. I admire his positive can-do attitude.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you playing this weekend, Rob?
Yes, I am. I'm playing 8 o'clock on Saturday. I did not. Did I play? Oh, I tried to play Sunday, and I called it quits after 9 because we were behind the senior club championship and the ladies club championship, and it was going to be 3 hours to play the back 9 because everybody was plumb bobbing from 2 feet, you know. So I left, and I found out from my friends that they left after 13 because it was that bad. So, you know, the way the course is structured, it's like you have to, there's certain times you have to make a decision, and that was it. But I did what was called, here, I'm going to try to get the name right. We had a special event, $20 a man on Tuesday, 4:30. It was 9 holes. It was called a US Open style pin, 9 hole step out scramble. And we need to find a catchier name for sure than that. But it was a lot of fun. So you had one person in your group. You were grouped, someone who was a top flight golfer, you know, basically scratch or better. And then BC flight. I forget how they actually did it. But there were 5 of us. So it was A through D. So there were 5. And what happened is everybody hits their tee shot. The one that you use, that person has to step out for the next shot. Only use the 4 remaining.
Interesting.
Now we had, and the pins were in ridiculous places. They were all on ridges or hills or right on the edge of the green, you know, like on left-hand side near wicked rough type of thing. So we had a little bit of we were a little bit different because we only had 4. Some guy didn't show up. So we just played it as a regular scramble per the rules. They told us to. So that was a lot of fun. And we finished, I actually made 3 birdie putts. So we played 9 holes and I made 3 birdies, which is misleading because I was going last. So it was, I mean, you see the line and I don't know, that's just much, much easier, but it was a good putting day. It was not a good, pretty much anything else day. You know, nothing else was really clicking. There were a couple good shots in there, a couple good drives, but the guy that was our championship flight guy, he would hit it in places where I could only dream of, like places where I didn't even know a bunker existed. You know, he's next to it. I'm like, I didn't even know that existed because, you know, my next approach would be from like 185 here and we've got 120 in, so, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was pretty easy to use, you know, when you're gaining, you know, 60, 70 yards on a tee ball, because the guy's hitting over 3 bills, then definitely a lot of uh, a, it makes things easier, you know, for approaches and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on your docket for golf this week?
Oh man, I'm actually just coming off like a 6-day can't stop golfing sort of bender type thing.
Really?
I was down at THP HQ.
Oh over, yeah.
Last couple of days, which was awesome. They have an unbelievably cool new tech studio that is going to bring some great content to all of our community, which I'm super excited to be a part of.
Yeah,
I actually got some videos done already. So
I'm insanely jealous. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I'm going to say jealous many times.
Yeah.
In this whole thing.
We did a live stream while we were down there. The community had a lot of fun following along with that. I think we did it on Facebook and YouTube. Played some sim golf on that. Test out some new equipment. Some equipment just very recently been released, which was a ton of fun. So I hope anyone who's out there and is interested in things like that, make sure you do check out the THP forums, and our socials would make it probably pretty easy to find out more where you can find that, as well as on the YouTube. So I think it's going to be a pretty chill weekend. I might play one round, probably Saturday, but who knows?
Yeah, I think we have some men's association on, which I'm not a part of on Sunday, so I'm not going to do two rounds. But but Saturday looks pretty good from weather perspective, and it's actually not supposed to be 105 degrees. So let's
we'll call that a win.
Let's just hope. I am thinking about switching out irons this week.
Okay,
something like I've never even touched.
Okay, let's talk about it next week. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see what I choose and see how that happens.
Sounds good. I think that's episode 18 in the books, Mr. Rob Miller.
We did it, Mr. Dan Edwards.
For anyone out there who plans to play this weekend, I hope you play well. Hope you have a great time. Let us know on social if you are playing and how well you do.
Yeah, and I would just one last thought that thanks to everyone read on people who saw on social that, you know, we had finally put my dog down that battled cancer. I got a lot of really nice messages from people. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, it sucks, but it's part of life, right? So anyway, let's wrap up episode 18. We will see you next week. Please hit subscribe and we'll talk to you later. Enjoy the Wyndham.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.